Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen, operate Monarch Rivers, here with this gentleman alongside of me, Luke Smith.
Hello.
Luke, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, Luke and I guide together, take people deer hunting in the fall. That's where we met, and I couldn't be more thrilled about having this guy to work with. It's never a dull time. And that being said, Luke, tell us a little bit about how you got involved hunting outside.
Hunting in general was it all harkens back to my father. Bow hunting, now another gentleman, Beanhead Rife, gave me my first bow. I still own that. Don't use it anymore. It's a wooden limbed Hoyt, but I still have it. Dad was big on hunting everything. His greatest love was wing shooting, bird dogs, field trials. He went to many, many field trials with his best dogs, and he had many of them, Joe and Candy and Lady and Rebel. But he really loved the wing shooting. He did like to go deer hunting, too, and he did that for since I was 12, I think, was about the first time we went.
Okay.
Deer weren't too plentiful then. So a few years later, they started getting more and more, but I always told Dad I killed a deer before he ever did. And he disputed that, but he had no proof of it. So, but no, we had a lot of good times, deer hunting and quail hunting and rabbit hunting and coon hunting and squirrel hunting. And Dad showed me a lot of tricks. So
awesome. So earliest hunting memory or that first deer that you killed?
Oh, the first deer I killed, I was just sitting in a brush pile. Cause I mean, we didn't have rednecks. You didn't have muddies. You didn't have, you know, any blinds unless you handmade them. And we did a lot of that too, you know, but sitting in a brush pile and, he wanted me to go somewhere else. I'm like, no, Dad, I think there's deer here. I've been seeing some tracks cause you didn't have cameras. You didn't have the, you know, and, that's the first deer that I ever killed. And I think it's one before he ever got one. I'm, you know, just a nice doe, but a trophy nevertheless, you know.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
There's a memory and they eat good.
Oh, yes.
All right. And then some of the wing shooting. To me, it's crazy that here we are. We worked together all season last season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know this. But like the wing shooting, I mean, you've been doing that forever, huh?
Yes, for more so than even deer hunt. I mean, you deer hunt shotgun season at first, and then, like I said, the other gentleman gave me my first bow whenever, probably about 14, and so I started bow hunting on my own, just kind of taught myself. But the wing shooting, we would go. From the time I was little, we'd go to dog trials, you know, and we'd be there and I never got to shoot at those because they wanted an adult out there for legal reasons and everything, of course. But, we would go quail hunting and dove hunting all season, every season and go a lot. And Dad could walk like nobody. I mean, he could just walk and walk and walk and guide them and work his dogs and have them do what he wanted them to do. And we had a lot of success and a lot of fun with it. And I don't think he ever shot a hen, you know, is always the cocks, you know.
Yeah.
That's his story again. But then again, how do you prove it? but no, he is a very good, quail shot and dove shot. I learned a lot from him on that, and I don't think I ever got as good as he was at one time, but I do all right. Do all right.
I don't know. Is my memory right? You had a wing shoot that you did during the season this past year. Do you do an annual wing shoot still?
Rabbit hunting.
Oh, that was a rabbit hunt. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I got a bunch of friends with rabbit dogs, and we come out to the house and have a big feed and and run dogs and camaraderie and have a good time. And grandpas and sons and grandsons and, you know, just generational. There's usually at least three generations represented, you know, and a lot of fun.
So, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And so you do that at your place?
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome. So with regard to, I got to ask this, with regard to guiding, this is your first experience guiding, and I think we've talked a little bit about this, but what's one thing that you might have picked up from going hunting with so many different hunters and you know, maybe you picked up a tip from a hunter? What's one thing that you'll take into the woods when you go hunting personally this next season?
Oh, Aaron, there's a lot. You're never, you know, 59 years old when I did this for the first time last year, as far as guiding. I learned probably more last year than I have in the last 10. And I'm not just saying that for any other reason than that it's true. As far as the hunters themselves go, there's a lot of different personalities, a lot of different styles that you have to adapt to, a lot of different hunting skill and ability levels. And they all look to you as being their resource and their, and knowing more than them, they hope. We like to think we know some, so we can act sometimes, but no, a lot of good hunters. And I think the thing I picked up more than anything last year that I'm implemented at my own farm, whenever I got to hunt a little bit. And, that is entry and exit from the stands, the way that Monarch Rivers likes to do it. Lower impact that way. And then a big part of that with the guiding is not wearing out a stand, not giving away location of a stand to the doe, the especially the does, more even than the bucks, because the bucks, they probably not come by there too much anyway. You get one or two pops at them and that's all you get. The does live there, you know? So not overusing and making sure you keep that stand secret from them knowing it's there is the biggest thing. And I've always known that, but it just drove it home with having to have multiple hunters on different weeks. You got 5, 6, 7 guys come in one week and you got a different 5, 6, 7 the next. Well, sometimes you got to use the same stands, but you always don't have to, and you have to play the wind because you cannot give away that location, you know? So that's probably the biggest pickup I had, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great because, a buddy of mine, I asked him, he said he had been listening to this and he said that the tips were what he really enjoyed. I think it was the episode with Cole Foyles. And so, appreciate you saying that because, you know, it's kind of one of those things that's right under your nose, but you can't see it. And that's awesome feedback. So thank you. With regard to your, deer hunting at home, you've got a farm that you own and you have, just like you mentioned a second ago, multiple generations that have hunted that farm. You know, what's that look like? Is that's typically gun season?
It was typically gun season with Pop to come and hunt with us. He did do a little crossbow hunting. Okay. We'd always get his bow out there for him and get everything ready. And he would come out and he'd sit out there. I think he more liked to just sit out there and contemplate and watch nature. You know, he'd love to hear squirrels, love to just everything. The boys bow hunt. My youngest, Jarrett, more than my older son, Jacob, but they both do it. And we gun hunt religiously. As you know, my father just died in July. So last year was the last year, and he did come out 3 days and sat in the stand, and I sat with him for one, which is, I'll cherish that memory forever, you know. But on the deer, you know, as a solo operation for me for a lot of years. Even when the kids were young and they had the old, where's daddy? Gone a hunting again, they'd right. say, you know, when they're little. But, you know, we've had a lot of success and we have a little, I hunted on brother-in-law for years and then bought this small farm and it's only 120 acres, but, we managed to kill two or three nice deer every year and in our quota on does to keep the population in check and, have a lot of fun with it. Like to hunt more, you as Monarch Rivers afford me some time to hunt and that's nice. Maybe not enough, but
we're working on it. Well, so the thing that's interesting to me is, and we have talked about this in the past is the unique style of when we're taking hunters, we have new guys come, new guys go, use that information, but also, man, you've killed a lot of very impressive deer. I still, like, I'm coming over, I'm bringing a 12-pack of stag, we're going to have a couple, and I'm taking a picture of you with a stag in your hand. It's going to be in front of your wall in your barn, and it's going to be on the Monarch Rivers Instagram. It's going to say, meet Luke, right? Mm-hmm. That's like, that wall is incredible. You got a stud, like what, 170?
178, yeah.
178 on there. What? Tell us about that deer.
That deer was kind of an accident, and it's not really a hunting story more than a conservation story. That was the first of the EHD or blue tongue, and that deer came up to my yard. And I had a Great Dane that was raising all kinds of cane outside. And I walked out and there's this deer just feet away from him. And I could tell right away it was sick. And so I got him in the house and went back out and the deer's still there. And well, I tried to kind of shoo it off and I could tell it wasn't going to go very well. So it went and laid down just off my yard and long story short, I called the sheriff because I couldn't get hold of a conservation police officer, and I dispatched him with a pistol. Hence why he's not and at that time I probably couldn't have afforded to mount him anyway. But but no, that was of shame for that deer. But he was a mess, and he would have either died there or my pond, which was 30 yards away and neither one would have been a good thing, right. You know, with the animals.
All right. Well, there's some other like notable deer.
Yes.
On
yes.
that wall.
And
then you go inside and I mean, that's where
right.
the trophies are, but just across the board has been, I mean, you killed some studs, dude.
Well, thank you. There's times that we didn't really antler mass and things didn't concern so much. The hunting I was doing was more driven by the farmers that allowed you to hunt and they wanted, you know, if it's brown, it's down philosophy, which most have went away from that nowadays because they realize it's a resource and it's one we need to manage. But so some of the bucks, you know, you might not be so proud of, but you should be proud of everything you take in the outdoors because one, it put food on the table and two, that animal gave its life for you to have it there, you know? So even if it's a 4-point buck, I'm keeping the rack, you know? So,
well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about that. We're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, and let's talk about, you know, what is a trophy? Okay, welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. With me, I have Luke Smith. We were just talking about the impressive deer and some of the not so impressive deer in his house and his barn. And we're going to talk a little bit about What is a trophy? You know, Luke, you're talking about, hey, you know, at one point or another, they said, kill all these deer. You want to hunt. So you're out there doing that. And then you also have some serious studs in the house.
Yeah. Well, the philosophy in the neighborhood, and I like to think I had a pretty good role in that. And some of my nephews and some of the other younger neighbor, mostly farmers, got into the, they wanted to, they, every time we got a buck and a nice one, everybody liked to see it. Right. So they wanted to try to cultivate that. And I was always a proponent of trying to do that a little bit before even. And by these younger generations of these established farm families wanting to do that too, it really took off. And so I think where I live in particular, it's one of the best probably areas in the counties for people trying to do that and not mm-hmm. take the young deer and not take the smaller and see if we can get them to grow and reach their potential. It doesn't always happen. You know that, but, we're trying to age deer, on the hoof, which is very tough, by the way. you mess up every once in a while. I know one time I remember a deer in particular and he was a nice 140 buck, but, I came in and he was in the deer shed, as we used to call it, where we'd all skin them. And somebody had taken the fingers off of rubber gloves and stuck them on my tines to make them taller as a little joke for me, because I was preaching to let them grow, you know? And I'm like, dude, it's still bigger than anything you've killed. But no, a trophy though is to, for the hunter, you know, the young hunters, the old hunters, the new hunters, the, somebody wants to eat, you know, I don't disparage any deer that someone wants to harvest as long as they use it like it needs to be used. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's first and foremost, we are not a growing population. Hunters are not a growing population.
Very true.
So there is no point to making it a negative experience by shaming somebody on what they shot. Now, in terms of trying to grow and achieve higher, we'll just say accomplishments of you know, level of harvest, you know, that's where management comes in. Right. But at the end of the day, we're all hunters. If we aren't on the same team, it's not, you know, other hunters that are trying to take it away.
Very true. And it's a little bit different, I believe, with my experience with Monarch Rivers, for instance. I mean, you got to try to talk your clients into what they, maybe their target animals and different things, because it's not just that one hunter. You got the next hunter, then the mm-hmm. next hunter, then the next hunter. And if you're taking out 3.5-year-old bucks on a consistent basis, you're not going to have the 5.5, 6.5 for that people want to invest their time and money in to go somewhere else to hunt.
Exactly.
You know, it's different than your own private property.
But. Right. So going back to your farm and gun season,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you got three generations out there hunting. You guys kind of cover some key stands on the farm during gun season, sit there and enjoy it. Now you have one blind, what do you call it?
Oh, the buck grunt in.
Yes. The buck grunt in. Tell me about that.
The buck grunt in was a homemade stand I built for my father years ago. Some nice bucks taken from that stand. It was made out of marine plywood that I tore out of a hog confinement that was no longer used. So I did that, and then I built it, and it still is almost as good as it was that day. Dad would always go to that stand, drive right up to it, park within 10 feet of it, get in it, and according to him, saw a nice buck every opening morning. Every morning, whether he wanted to shoot it or not. But it's a cherished little spot for us. My boys broke in there hunting there with my father, and Then when they got a little older, I'd take one of them and he'd have the other one. And that's how it all started out in gun season. And the Buck Grun Inn always had snacks, always had something to drink, and not, you know, Pepsi and water, you know. That was what you drank while you hunt, because that's what you do. But the memories of that are, and this season, I bought my father's old truck, and it's going to go to that, and I'm going to park opening day at that same spot. And I think all three of us boys are going to squeeze into that thing. It's really only made for about two, but we may all just hunt together that morning. So
that's fantastic, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this past season, your father was able to, your son was able to harvest
a nice buck out of that stand. Yes.
With your dad there.
No, dad wasn't there. Dad was supposed to have hunted with him, but he's been sick for about a year, and he wasn't feeling good, and he had all good intentions, but he showed up after he killed it, though, but he just couldn't get up. The mornings were the worst. It took him a long time to get ready, and he had all good intentions, but
that was Jared that shot it?
Yes. Jared shot that one out of dad's stand. Jacob got a really nice, we haven't had it scored yet, but I would guess 170 to 175, 10 point on a different stand. I, being the silly father, I guess, I always say, where do you want to hunt? Well, where do you want to hunt? And I go to the other spots, you know.
Right.
Now, this time, I've already said I'm hunting in the Buck Grun Inn, so you guys can join me, but I am hunting there. I'm putting my foot down on this season.
This year's Luke's.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you sharing with us, and thanks for coming out tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, and I always enjoy talking about my pop and my family and my passion for hunting, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.